Today we're building one of the nastiest, most effective transition tricks in modern drama and bass, an immense style rewind moment that brings real old-school rave pressure into Ableton Live 12. And I want to frame this properly from the start, because this is not just an effect. This is a phrase level edit. It's a decision in the arrangement. It's the moment where the track looks back over its shoulder, yanks the energy backward, and then reloads with more authority. If you do this right, the crowd feels the rewind before they even consciously notice what happened. We're working in arrangement view, and the goal is to create that classic jungle and rave tension moment without killing momentum. So think brief, heavy, musical, and intentional. At 174 to 176 BPM, the rewind has to read like part of the story, not like a random gimmick pasted on top. First, choose your rewind point like a DJ would. Don't just drop it anywhere. Look for a phrase boundary, usually bar 17, 33, 49, or 65, depending on how your track is laid out. The strongest places are the end of a 16-bar or 32-bar section. That's where the listener already expects a change, so the rewind feels earned. A good rule here is to leave a bit of breathing room around it. Give yourself at least one bar before the rewind where tension is building, and one bar after where the re-entry can really land. If everything is slammed together too tightly, the rewind loses its impact. Now let's set up control. Create a group track called Rewind Bus and route all the rewind-related material into it. The drum edits, the reverse FX, the noise tail, and any bass stutter or pitch drop element. On that bus, keep the processing simple but purposeful. Start with EQ8 and high pass around 30 to 40 Hz so the sub rumble doesn't muddy the transition. Then add a glue compressor for a small amount of cohesion, maybe just 1 to 2 dB of gain reduction. After that, a saturator with soft clip-on and a little drive, around 2 to 4 dB, gives you some grit and density. This matters because the rewind should feel like one event, not six separate elements fighting each other. In fast music, especially drum and bass, the cleaner your transition structure is, the harder it hits. Next, we need the amen break itself. Take your amen break audio and make sure it's warped cleanly, but don't over-polish it. The raw transient shape is part of the attitude. Slice the break into useful pieces. Kick, snare, ghost notes, and hat tail. Then duplicate the last half bar before the rewind and make a micro chop sequence. Here's where the feel comes from. Use clip gain and fades to make the last few hits fall apart slightly. Pull the final snare hits down by a few dB, maybe 3 to 6 dB, and let the last kick or snare become the thing that gets reversed or pulled back. You can also add tiny reverse snippets before the main hit so the ear hears that suction effect, like the track is being dragged backward into itself. If you're triggering slices and simpler, transient mode is a great starting point for the kick and snare. Then shape individual slice envelopes so the tails are too long. And don't over-quantize the life out of it. A slight human push or tiny imperfection makes the rewind feel like it came from sampler culture, not from a sterile grid. Now for the actual rewind motion. The best way to make this feel real is to resample it. Print the rewind phrase to a new audio track. Record the amen edit, the reverse hits, and the first bit of the bass tail into one pass. Once it's printed, you can do more convincing moves in audio than you can with live automation alone. You've got two strong options here. One is to reverse the recorded section or just reverse the tail. That gives you the classic sucked backward feel. The other is to automate clip transpose downward over the last half bar or full bar. Start at zero semitones and slide down to minus 12, or even minus 24, if you want it extra dramatic. A nice advanced move is to print two versions. Make one that stops tightly over half a bar, and another that drags more obviously over a full bar. Then compare them in context. The better version is the one that keeps the groove moving and improves the next phrase, not necessarily the one that sounds coolest in isolation. Now let's shape the bass, because this is where a lot of rewind moments either become huge or become messy. The bass needs to pull away before the stop, but not vanish in a way that feels empty. You want controlled collapse. Automate an auto filter on the bass, sweeping from a few kilohertz down into the mid-range as you approach the rewind. You can also narrow the width with utility so the low end becomes more centered before the dropout. If you're working with a Reese or a Neuro-style bass layer, resample a short tail and pitch it down during the rewind. A movement of 3 to 7 semitones can add serious menace when blended carefully. Just remember the low-end rule. Don't let full sub and the reload fight each other. Either the sub drains away during the rewind, or it returns cleanly on the other side. The gap is part of the drama. And if you want this to feel heavier instead of just more effect-heavy, use bass control, not bass clutter. A clean low-end picture makes the re-entry feel massive. Now for the FX stack, we're aiming for three layers: reverse, impact, and air. The reverse layer can be a reversed cymbal, a reversed noise hit, or even a reversed amen slice. If you want a more authentic old-school rave flavor, try an auto filter with a resonant bandpass sweep. Move the frequency from around 1kHz down toward 200 or 300hz, and keep the resonance moderate. That gives you that mechanical, sucking turnaround feeling. The impact should be short and focused. In a heavy DNB context, a sub-impact or a snappy processed snare slam is often better than a giant cinematic hit. Use drum bus if you want more weight and snap. A little drive, a little crunch, and only use boom if the low end is sparse enough to handle it. Then there's the air layer. Vinyl crackle, room noise, atmosphere, anything that keeps the rewind from feeling dead. High pass these layers so they live above 250 or 400 hertz. You want them to suggest space, not clutter the mix. Now comes the arrangement work, and this is where the rewind becomes musical. In the final bar before the rewind, strip the drums down. Maybe leave hats, a ghost snare, or a reduced break pattern. Pull the bass out briefly. You're creating tension before the transition even happens. During the rewind bar, mute the main drop elements and let the reverse effects and chop drum fragment take center stage. You can even increase reverb on the final snare hit. Then cut it abruptly right before the re-entry. That contrast between space and dryness is huge. It makes the reload feel brutal. Then on the return bar, bring the kick, snare, and sub back with a clean transient. Add something new on top so the listener knows this is a new chapter, not just a repeat. That might be a higher percussion loop, a stab, a ride pattern, a new bass answer, or a sharper amen variation. A really strong choice in drum and bass is to have the rewind happen on bar 16, then return in a slightly stripped way on bar 17, and fill the texture back out over the next few bars. That breathing bar after the rewind can hit harder than instant full density. On the re-entry, don't just copy and paste the old groove. Add a new break edit, new ghost notes, or a different drum detail. Ghost notes work especially well here. Put soft hits 1/16 or 1/32 before the main backbeat, and keep them way lower in level than the main snare. That little bit of motion makes the groove feel alive. If your track leans darker or more neuro, let the bass answer the drums instead of running continuously. The rewind gives you space for call and response, and that's often where the pressure really comes from. A couple of advanced variations are worth trying too. One is the dual speed rewind. Start with a quick drum reverse or stop, then follow it with a slower pitch drop on the bass tail. That creates a two-stage motion. First the jerk back, then the drag downward. Another is the percussion-only rewind. Strip the sub and kick completely, and rewind just the top break layers and FX. That can be really powerful if you want the drop to feel huge without leaning on the classic tape stop cliché. You can also try an asymmetric rewind, where one half of the transition is shorter than the other. That slight imbalance can make it feel more human and less looped. And if you want a more subtle trick, fake the rewind completely. Drop out everything except a tiny fragment, then slam the groove back in a beat later. That false rewind is great when you want tension without obvious tape stop theatrics. Now let's talk about keeping it clean. Solo the rewind bus and listen to it against the full mix. It should be loud enough to read on a club system, but not so loud that it smears the return. Check mono compatibility too. Rewind effects can sound massive in stereo and then fall apart when collapsed. Keep the sub mono. Avoid wide reverbs or stereo delays below 150 to 200 hertz. If the rewind feels too harsh, use EQA to gently notch the aggressive area, often somewhere around 2.5 to 5 kHz, and always test it at low volume. If the structure still reads quietly, the arrangement is strong. If it only works when loud, it's probably over-designed. A good rewind moment should feel like the track is pulling the floor backward for half a second, then hitting back harder. That's the essence of old-school pressure in a modern DNB arrangement. So here's the challenge for you. Build one rewind moment from the end of a 16-bar drop in Ableton Live 12. Use a chopped amen edit, resample it, pitch it down, add a reverse cymbal or noise swell, automate the bass filter out, and hit the return with a new drum detail. Then compare the result in mono and stereo. If it makes the next phrase feel bigger, you nailed it. This is how you turn a transition into a statement. Brief, heavy, musical, and impossible to ignore.